You know, this is one of those topics that no one really wants to think about, but if you're a parent, a homeowner, married, or helping take care of aging parents, it's something that honestly deserves a little attention. I'm talking about estate planning. And before you tune out thinking it's complicated or expensive, that's actually why I want to mention trust and will. Trust and will makes estate planning feel way less intimidating than it sounds. They offer modern, attorney-designed wills and trusts that you can create online. And the process is surprisingly straightforward. In fact, you can create a will in as little as 30 minutes. That includes things like guardianship for your kids or pets, how your assets are distributed, and even healthcare directives. Don't wait until it's too late. Protect your loved ones with Trust and Will, the most trusted name in online estate planning. Go to trustandwill.com/future to get 20% off. That's trustandwill.com/future for 20% off. trustandwill.com/future.
The Claire Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
I'm so excited because for the first time, myself and Joanne McNally have met.
I can't believe you. Like, how have we not met?
I don't know. I don't know how that happened.
And I know it's not about looks, but I'd like to just say for the record, you're hotter in real life.
Fabulous.
You're not unattractive about you. You're not unattractive on camera, but you're hotter in real life. That's all I'll say.
I'll take it. I will absolutely take it. Listen, 2nd September date, even as I was driving in, I saw the poster today for the Three Arena in December.
Yes.
Like, this is, I don't know if you get your head around this, how big this is for you, but you're the only Irish comedian ever to do back-to-back nights in the Three Arena.
Yes. That's, I know.
Now, phenomenal.
Thank you. Obviously, as an Irish person, I find these conversations incredibly uncomfortable.
I was reading last night that your insides burn when you get confident.
I'd be like, thanks, pennies, yeah, immediately. But what I will say, and I'm not just saying this, but it is ultimately just a very large gig. And I always say, I'm like, there are other comedians, Irish comedians, who could have done the Three and they just chose not to because it's not necessarily meant for stand-up. So they might do loads and loads of other venues.
Stop. This is phenomenal. Thanks, what you have achieved is just crazy. I mean, even the fact that you went over to the UK in the way that you did and then you went on all of those big shows, like, that's really intimidating. I worked in London in news and a different thing.
Yeah.
But it is really hard to do that.
Oh, it was hard at the start. When I first moved to London, I actually found the social side harder, as in, like, because I didn't have one. I found that harder. The work, I was just like a rat up a drain pipe. I was just so thirsty for it.
Yeah.
That I just kind of put the foot to the gas and I just kept going. And also, I will say, I was very lucky. Like, I got signed early on. There's kind of protection there and I was with a good agency.
Yeah.
So they're like, look, we're not going to give you this act, but we'll give you Joanne McNally. There's all that.
Yeah, but you can't get all that and be crap. Do you know what I mean? Sorry, I'm just going to keep saying it to you. The other thing I want to ask you about is your last video last night on Instagram, you said you were going to leave your makeup on.
Yeah.
And sleep in it and sleep responsibly. Did you do that?
I didn't. So I was doing a photo shoot yesterday and then I flew in late last night and, you know, you're tired or whatever and you're like, why would I scrub off all this stunning artwork when I have to come in and do something else tomorrow? I was filming something this morning and I was talking about leaving it all on. And then I got a slew of messages from women saying, Miriam McCallaghan notoriously leaves her eye makeup on. How? Are her eyes not falling out of her head? I'm too skincare conscious. I was like, no, I'm going to scrub it all off. I mean, I'm 42. You got to look after
No, you can still leave your eyes on.
I remember Deirdre O'Kane saying to me years ago, I was like, have you any advice for me starting out? And she was like, invest all your money. Now, I had no money at the time, obviously, but I was leaning in to see what I'd do with the tenor that I had. She's like, invest all your money. And I was like, go on. She goes, in your face.
Really?
I was like, such good advice, Deirdre. Thank you so much.
And are you conscious of that kind of stuff?
I'll tell you this and I'll tell you no more. You can say what you want, but when it comes to male and female comedians, there isn't anything like the same pressure on male comedians.
Of course there isn't.
There just isn't. There just isn't. Mm. And like, look, I do think it's vastly improving because I think there's so much more work for female comedians now. The days of like the one token woman on a panel show, they are long gone, thank God. And I massively benefited from that because when I came in, that was all shifting, you know. I think it was trickling down. Catherine Ryan has spoken about this as well. Like, bigger kind of American female comedians kind of cracked through and then there was a trickling down system. And now, it would be highly irregular for there not to be, like, several women on a podcast and, you know, all that jazz. But, you know, you're on telly. I mean, have you seen a line on telly recently?
I know.
On a
head? I know. But it's a pressure, isn't it? It's a pain in the...
It isn't. I'll be honest. I kind of enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
Well, if you're into it, then
you're into it.
That's
it's almost
fine.
Like a hobby now, which sounds really sad. But I do kind of enjoy it, you know.
And are the lads going to your shows now?
Yes, they
that's
are.
That's all changed too.
Well, there's a definite shift there. That when I first started, I mean, there was nobody. Maybe some lad who'd walked in by accident, I don't know, thought it was Joe Rogan or something, I don't know. But then men started coming with their girlfriends, mm-hmm. which was a bit of crack because they'd kind of get into it. But at the start, you could feel they were a little nervous because I think, and I probably didn't help with this narrative either, it was kind of being sold as this feral hen party where women were just kind of like, I don't know, sitting there like naked.
There was a bit of that.
Drinking wine. I don't know.
A bit of that at Prosecco Express, wasn't it? Because you said about that just people going, rawr.
It was feral. But the other thing with Prosecco was we just come out of lockdown. So people were like lit. They were good to go. And it is a night out, you know, and mm-hmm. there was a lot of madness in Prosecco and women getting carried out by their arms and their legs. However, I feel now we've all kind of grown up together and it's a calmer state of affairs. But there is still like predominantly women. But I remember I was doing a show in Southend, Portsmouth, somewhere like that, and there was four straight men, because obviously there's a lot of gay men come to the show, mm-hmm. that's fine, that's to be expected, and there was four straight men, and I still think about them to this day. I've no idea why they were there. I couldn't figure it out. That is unusual. It is unusual.
Yeah, but it's changing.
But it's absolutely changing. Mm-hmm. And then also, you know, sometimes you think you know what's going on and you don't, because there'd be a couple in the front row. And I might suggest that the guy's dragged there against his will. And then his female partner will say, actually, he got the tickets.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, it is changing, which is nice. I mean, it shouldn't really matter, but it is nice to know that you can cross over, you know.
Well, I suppose it's good in terms of your material, is it, as well? And what you're, you know, because you get to talk to the people in front of you.
Well,
so.
And they know, men know, like, they know I love them, really. They're in on the gag, really. Like, yeah, I give them a hard time, but they know it's all in.
And tell me, how is Mammy Pat? Because I love her.
She's great. She's fantastic.
I felt sorry for her when I listened to your Two Johnnies podcast and she had to drive you there all the way. I mean, she minds you like an egg still.
I know. She's fantastic. She's kind of, she's still of the mindset. Like, she came into one of the Olympia shows and she's up in the box and she's like, I just can't get over them all coming.
To see you.
For you. And I'm like, yeah, that's kind of the job now. Or where was I in? I was struggling. There was some random place I was in Norway, Bergen, I think. And it wasn't like the tickets weren't selling. They weren't flying out the door, we'll say. Mm-hmm. And I was saying to mum, I was like, tickets aren't selling. She goes, sure, why would they? We don't know anyone in Bergen. And I was like, I'm not just doing shows to friends and family now. Things have moved on. Yeah, but she's also that very like nervous, you know, she thinks
for
it's
you.
All. 100%. She's like,
lovely, though.
She thinks it's all, she's like, it could all go tomorrow. And she's dead right. It could. Anything could for anyone, whatever job they're doing. So she's very concerned with pensions and stuff like that.
And does she mind being in the videos and stuff that you put up online, the pictures?
No, well,
I love it, but does she mind?
She doesn't mind, but she likes a filter and she'll like to know.
Does she?
Oh, God, yeah. And she'll like to know. She likes to see the videos before they go up and all. Oh, yeah. And she has, as I've spoken about before, very clearly has a fake Instagram account, which I don't have the information of. So she keeps...
Oh, she was following you as a...
I think it's like P. McNulty 568. I don't think it's very
But why
discreet.
Wouldn't she just be herself?
Because she's a mother, so she likes to just monitor and stalk.
But she goes to your show. Like, she knows what you're like. Right?
Mothering Heights, that's what I call her. It's just like, yeah. She keep a close eye. I remember once I was in the house and I tweeted, and I don't really tweet that often anymore. It's a bit toxic now. But I tweeted and her phone beeped and you could see the look of panic in her eyes when I realised she's alert set up for everything I do. So she'll keep an eye, but she doesn't get involved. Or when she comes to the shows, she'll say very generic things like, I liked your costume. Or when I ask her about the material, she'll say, well, I couldn't hear a thing. I think she intentionally turns her hearing aids down when she comes in. And do you know what? Good.
Yeah.
It works for the two of us.
Yeah, but she's there for you. She's got your back.
Oh, 100%. She's very proud. Sometimes I have to stop her weighing in when I get drunk and stuff. I'm like, mum,
When I was looking back at life for you before this, music publicist, that was your job, was it? Were you good at that?
So I started with MCD. So I did a master's in public relations, went into MCD. Which is gas, because I work with them now. They're my promoter.
Mad.
And they still have press releases that I wrote about other bands and stuff. Someone was showing me one of them the other day.
Did you enjoy that? Or were you looking at them going, looking at the people you were promoting going, that could be me?
God, no. Because like, I mean, I haven't a singing or anything like that. I wouldn't have been. But I worked on Oxygen and everything back in the day. And then I was in P PR, it's so nice being able to say PR because I live in London. Whenever I say it, they haven't a clue what I'm saying. They're like, what? PR. But I think I was a little unsatisfied. There was definitely something that wasn't quite fulfilled there. And I always loved performing and stuff, but because, and like, no disrespect to my mother, but it wouldn't have been her. She's like, come on now, that's not for you. That's for, you know, we're not actors. We're workers. We're pensionable jobs. That's who we are. So then I wanted to be a journalist because I loved writing. And then someone told me you'd have to sell your granny for a story. And I was like, I don't have the hustle. I don't have the hustle in me.
Yeah.
Which it kind of actually turns out I
you do.
I do it now. But at the time, like I learned because when you're a publicist, you learn this with age and stuff, you know. You learn to lose your pride as you go along and just ask for what you want and assert yourself. But at the time, I was too young. So then I ended up going and doing the Masters in PR. And then I went into an agency called Thinkhouse, which I thoroughly enjoyed. It was a lot of youth brands and stuff. But I knew, I was like, there's something amiss here. And then as I've spoken about very publicly, I kind of spiraled off into an eating disorder and then had to kind of press pause on everything, which turned out to be the best thing in the world. One of those weird situations where, yes, it was a bit of a, I'm not going to use the term because we're on live radio, but it wasn't ideal. But also it kind of got to me, you know, the way life is funny and strange. Yeah. And even the sad bits or the hard bits, you're like, I can't really change them because they're all a stepping stone to where I got. So then I was free to make some choices. And I knew, I was like, look, I'm not going back into PR. Something has to shift here. And then I ended up going into theatre and I started working with Una McKevitt, and then PJ Gallagher got me into stand-up, and then it just kind of started rolling.
So who goes from the breakdown, the eating disorder, the awful thing to like world domination?
It's a wild pivot.
Incredible.
Well, it's not world now, Claire.
It is.
We're giving it a go, but it's not
Australia,
world.
The States.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to give the States a crack now, but my God, it's
does it scare
huge.
You?
It doesn't actually, no. It probably should, but no, it doesn't. Because I think, like someone was saying to me the other day about the three arena, and I know they meant well. Obviously, I knew they meant well, but they were like, "Are you pinching yourself?" And I was like, "I'm not. Am I pinching myself? No, I wouldn't say I'm pinching myself. I'm doing it 10 years. I've worked very, very hard. I've made a lot of personal sacrifices. You know, I've no partner. I've no kids. I've put everything into this. So, and I was always aiming, like, big for myself, you know. I wanted big things.
Yeah.
And
I love this. This is great to hear. Like, so this is what it takes.
I'm not going, oh my God, I can't. And maybe I should be kind of faking and a bit more humility. I'm grateful. You know, I feel lucky. I feel all those things.
And do you think that the fact that you don't have a partner and kids, that that's down to your work?
Oh, I'd say.
Really?
Oh, 1,000,000,000%. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can have it all. No, you can't. I think we've come full circle now and we've realised that's just not true. You can't have it all.
Yeah.
Show me a woman who has it all and I'll show me a very medicated woman who's probably 2 weeks away from a straitjacket. Well, like, do you know what I mean?
You do have to compromise.
There has to be compromise. That's just the reality of the situation.
And people drive themselves insane though, trying to do everything.
That's the thing. And like some people maybe present like they have it all. Like I look at people online and I'm like, how is she doing all this? And I have friends, so many of my friends now are working mothers. Mm-hmm. And I think to myself, because a lot of the time, like obviously I have a busy life and people do comment on it and they're like, to people like, how do you do it? And I'm like, well, I've no kids. So like, I'm free to work for a week and then go home and nap for 3 days because I've nothing on or whatever. Like,
But
I have friends who are working huge jobs, like running companies and all. And then they're going home and they're going into
doing
their
homework
mothering
and doing stuff. What drives me mad about Instagram in particular is the perfect house that I see all of the time. Like that doesn't, you can't do that.
You can't
do that. You're either locking your children under the stairs or you have a clean house. You can't do both.
No, I did actually an interior show recently. And so they came and they filmed the flat that I live in London. And like I'm not naturally organized is the diplomatic way of saying it, and whatever, I've made my peace with it, you know, it is what it is. But when I say I have the little box room, and there's a little spare bathroom in the little box room, and they're like, oh, the place is spotless. And I was like, if they open that cupboard, when I say that you couldn't get into the shower, that there was like umbrellas in the toilet, the place was, but that's just
normal.
Life.
That's normal.
It's normal life. Yeah.
And
you
are writing your book, are you?
That's on pause.
Why?
Because you can't do it all, Claire. This is what we're learning. You can't do it all. And I'm in the middle. Like, Pinafil is, it's a big, you know, it's a monster. It's a big ass tour. And then obviously I'm doing the pod with Vogue twice a week.
And you never miss a beat on that. I mean, you guys, regardless of how busy you are though, but you're always, you do it.
Oh yeah.
Like it's always there.
No, it's always there. Yeah. Oh yeah. That has to happen like clockwork, you know, sometimes I'm like, listen, is there any way we could skip? And they're like, no, that happens. And then I'm doing bits of TV in the UK. I've just landed this new panel show on TLC. And so there's, you know, I'm kind of throwing the kitchen sink at it.
So the book is, there will happen, but not.
I want to write a good book, and I just don't feel I would do that if I was to do it at the moment.
Is it the life story? Is that what the book will
be? Well, so it started. So I signed that book deal. I feel so bad for Penguin. God love them. I'd say
they'll be grand. They'll still be here.
They'll be grand. I'd say they're like this absolute pain in the hell. It started off because I actually signed that book deal before I was really. I just started doing stand up, but I was writing articles for magazines and papers in Ireland. So it actually wasn't, the book was never about me as such. I'd no profile.
Did you agree to do it for 10 cent and now you have to still do the book?
It wasn't the worstest. It wasn't the worstest, but I know book deals are notorious. Yeah, I know. Listen, we all, yeah. I know, you're like, could I tear up that contract? Could we start again?
Legal advice for Joanne, please.
But then obviously like kind of my life kind of totally changed and then the podcast happened and it changed me and Vogue's careers really for the best. And so now I think the book has kind of shifted into something and I think it will be more memoir-y vibes.
When
you
get round to it, but that will be when.
So I've had half a book written that doesn't make any sense. Well, I mean,
early days book.
It doesn't make any sense anymore. Do you know what I mean? Because I was trying to write this, I don't know where I was going, this kind of pop psychology book about, because I did sociology in college and I loved it. And it was like,
I did that for about 10 minutes.
Did you?
It was kind of an accident. I wanted to be a journalist and my career guidance teacher said, do politics and pick two other subjects. So I did sociology, politics and psychology.
So I was in great trio.
But I didn't stay. I loved the politics side.
Yeah.
And then the other two things going, I don't want to be a social worker. Why am I here? Because everybody around me wanted to be a social worker. So it was completely the wrong place for me to be. But you finished it, did you?
But you know that I loved it. I loved sociology. Like I actually came first in UCD. In fairness, it took me 7 years to do the degree. So that's all right. That's actually no flex. But do you know that when I was when I was working as a publicist, I actually worked on the Lisbon Treaty. Which is
really,
do you remember that? I was like, dude, I thought I was going to be a political publicist. Where that, I don't know where that came from. That last debate,
sliding doors, 7 minutes. What?
I know, it was about 7 minutes. Anyway, sorry, I'm waffling now. But like I say, the book has been through, it's been the journey. So I'm like, I want to put my heart and soul into it. And that takes the time to do that.
Yeah, you'll need to be in peacetime.
Yeah, I hope people are listening to this.
Yeah, we'll send them the tape. Don't worry for the case. And do you still fancy Pat Kenny, my colleague?
Is he rocking in the halls? That's why I agreed.
Pat is on Saturday and Sunday between 10 and midday. He could be around. Well, he could be around. We don't know. Like we can organise for him to be here.
Pat Kenny, I grew up, I was a child in the 80s in Ireland. The only man on the TV, it was only Pat Kenny. Gay Byrne, I hadn't really had my sexual awakening at that stage. No, I haven't had my sexual awakening for Pat Kenny either. He was the only man on TV and he was in control in a lot of toys. And I mean, sorry now, if that's not hot, do you know what I mean?
The radio show, the Late Late Show.
And he's a gorgeous voice. Yeah. Gorgeous, very dulcet.
Always
tones.
Very calm, very entertaining.
I had a little crush on him.
But still, this is what I want to know, is it still there? Like if you met...
How's he holding up?
Great, he looks fabulous.
Have a look at his Insta.
Like if you met him today, would you feel
shaky? I'd say there'd be a vibe. Is he married? Is he married?
But he'll still be delighted.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's Pat. He'll be thrilled. He'll get it. Yeah, he'll get it.
So listen, we'll have to get someone find Pat. We gotta get Pat in here.
I need my producer here to just cut all this stuff. Yeah.
No, that doesn't happen with live radio. Right. I want to go back to the podcast again because it is huge. It kind of grew from nothing really with you. But you and Vogue were friends, were you, before you moved to London? Is that how that happened? So, and whose idea was it to do it?
Vogue's. Yeah. So we hung around. We had, as I always explain it, because we talked about this when we did our live show. We were friends in like a larger group. You know the way young people, when they hang around to these big gangs. And then within that gang, you've like little smaller kind of pockets and cohorts and tribes. And so we were friends, but we weren't close. Do you know right. what I mean? We knew it was like, hi, Val.
She was an associate.
She was. That's exactly what she was. She was an associate. And she is very intimidating and was at the time. I mean, she was like, she was a little celeb at the time.
She was, yeah. And she did that thing, that TV thing years
ago. Bay Street.
That's it, yeah. yes.
You know, I was also in. I was in the.
Were you in it?
Claire's face just dropped.
Were you in it?
Yeah. Now, I think I had one line. So the PR company that one of the girls was in, I think Louise was in it. I was working in the. So I was in the background. I think I said, Electro Picnic is go. I think that was my line.
That was your line?
Yeah. That was a. Yeah. But anyway, so she was wildly intimidating. And then when I moved to London, like I say, I really struggled with the social side because I'd come from having a really nice gang of mates in Dublin.
And you knew no. Buddy-ish?
No one. And like you'd meet other kind of comics at auditions and stuff and they'd be like, oh, we must meet for a coffee. And of course I then was like, can we meet for the coffee? But sure, they don't mean it. It's London, you know. Oh, Roisin Conaty, actually, I will say, Roisin Conaty in particular, she was so nice to me when I first went over. But people are busy living their lives. Anyway, me and Vogue, we ended up kind of going for lunch and she was like, look, I'm in London, come down. And then, of course, as the story goes that I've told a million times, I ended up moving into her basement and lived there for a while because I was staying in like pretty grim hostels now and all because I was doing open spots. So I had no money.
Yeah.
And I was trying to kind of, you know, make a go of it over there. And what happened was actually, I think I put her tan on a video. I think she got me to do her tan and then that kind of did well and then she was like, do you want to do a podcast? But Vogue, she's always hustling, she's pitching, she's all like, she's just always, that's how her brain works. So thank God
she's so good at it though.
She's brilliant at it.
I mean,
and
she's a walking success story herself.
She really,
such a brand.
Really is. And she Global, who are the company that we do it with, Vogue already had a big audience over there, you know, so I kind of was very lucky that I kind of walked into an audience already.
Yeah.
And we were very caught up in the podcast. We were like, God, it needs kind of a hook, or we were kind of getting bogged down. And then we came up with the very obvious thing. We're like, just talk nonsense, which is wow.
So your friendship wasn't what we see now. You didn't have that really close relationship.
No, when we started, we were becoming friends, mm-hmm. I would say. Yeah. And then it was just like a baptism of fire because suddenly we were like sisters now.
Yeah.
But you're
very different, aren't you?
Well, I think that was why the podcast worked at the start anyway, because I was very, it was like that upstairs, downstairs thing. I was like this single woman, no kids, no money.
Uh-huh. With the cigarettes in the pen jar.
Smoking the fags and drinking the wine. You know, all this, like, you know, living the feral life. And Vogue is very clean living and she's married and she's, you know, she's married well and she's making her own and her own money as well, folks. Now she's dead right. She's making her own money and she's squatting and she's doing the gym and she's bright eyed and bushy tailed and I'm kind of.
Do you do the gym and everything? I saw you on your Pilates thing last night.
Oh yeah, when I was resting on it.
Yeah.
No, I do now. I have to say I'm taking my fitness very seriously. I'll tell you, once I hit 40, I was like, this is no joke actually.
You have to do it. Really.
You kind of have to. Yeah. Like when I look at older people now and they're kind of with the sticks and it's like, you want to keep your mobility going. And I used to work in a nursing home when I was in college and I've seen the
all
decline.
Of these jobs. This is
what I wanted.
Revelation.
I wanted to nurse.
As well.
Well, before I went in, I wanted to, my mother wouldn't let me nurse because she's a nurse. She was
well,
like,
there's a bit of a theme, sociology, nursing.
Yeah. I like people.
Yeah.
I like people.
But you didn't go down that road either.
No, my mother was very determined that I wouldn't.
And what did you do in the gym? Was it a couple of days ago where you couldn't walk without taking Salpidine?
Well, so the problem is, apparently you can't go from the bed to the gym. This is what I'm told. So because I work from, so I'd have periods of time where I'm go, 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 as we all are. And then if I have a day or two off, I will recline. And I mean, like bed sore vibes, like not, you know, I'll barely make it to the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll get up and I'll start moving again. But I have a trainer in London now, Olivia, who keeps me mobile and alive during the tour. And she's like, you can't, I call it the boffice, the bed office, where I'll just stay for days. She's like, no, you're not in a position.
That.
Yeah. And then I could not walk for 3 days. I didn't realise. I guess it's like a muscle. Anyway, I'm trying to stay on top of it because touring is, it's not the healthiest of lifestyles. Do you know what I mean? It's, you know, you got it, like you're eating out of petrol stations and I'm conscious of, yeah, I'm in my 40s now. I need to keep my health.
And do you drink the wine all the time or is that a thing?
It's not a
bit of a trademark. Or do you still drink the wine?
I love wine. I love it. Mm-hmm.
How do you function? I mean, I love wine, but I can't drink it. I can't function.
Well, that's what I was so surprised. I did. Catherine Ryan has a podcast in the UK called, I think it's What Age Are You? Where they test your biological age.
Yes.
And so I, because like I love wine and like I had like, you know, big party days in my 20s and I don't, you know, I would say burn the candle at all ends. Mm-hmm. I'm like a triple wick Jo Malone at this stage. Like I'm always lighting something. And, all that jazz. And so I was convinced that I was going to be taken off in a gurney when they got the results.
What was it?
20.
What?
This is exactly the reaction everyone on the team had in the day. So obviously I'm 42 on the outside. This has been established 1993. And when the results came back. So then she was saying.
Good genes.
There's good genes. So there's obviously good news there. So that's why I was like, oh, grand. Now, a bit of bad news would have done me no harm because I probably would have reined in my behaviour.
Oh, yeah, you go wild but if someone tells you you're 20.
This is fantastic. Straight to the pub.
Marlboro Lights.
Straight to the pub. Yeah. Three vapes at a go. I'm only massing. I don't actually vape. Thank God. It's one vice I don't have. But yeah, so I think, you know, and also I do, like I say, when you don't have kids, you kind of get away with more. Mm-hmm. You do. Like, I'm not up at the crack of dawn with kids and... Yeah, and I find that...
I don't know, I'll take the 20 and I'll run with it. I think that's great.
It is, isn't it great?
Someone ring Pat. Ring Pat quick. She's
Pat
here
Kenny
she's 20.
Pat McNally?
Pat Kenny.
Ring them both.
Ring them both, get them in.
Yeah.
The tickets are on sale on Friday for the second gig, which is the 5th of December.
Yes.
At the Three Arena.
Yes.
We will all be there.
Yes.
And on Friday, I'm also talking to Vogue.
Are you?
Yeah,
I know.
So we'll have tickets, we'll have Vogue. It'll be a great day.
That's so funny. I just spoke to her and said I was coming in here. She never even mentioned
there
us. What's she doing
might,
here?
She might know.
She's getting a job.
She might know about
she
it.
She might know.
No idea what we're talking about.
Hilarious.
We'll probably talk about you.
I'd like to be involved.
It was great to meet you. Thank you so,
so nice
much.
So nice to meet you,
and
Claire.
And I'm thrilled for all of your success. Congratulations.
The Claire Byrne Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.